cloudy and cold. That's how we're getting started here on this Tuesday. Heading for a high around 55, says Dr. Bill. A reinforcing shot. You like that reinforcing shot of cold due in here Sunday into Monday. The coldest temps of the year. Actual Arctic air making its way to the Gulf Coast. So if you're like me and the plants in your yard have decided, hey, it's like spring and we're going to put on some new growth, it's going to get smoked on Sunday night. But other than that, we've got to get there, and we have a little warm-up to be expected between now and then. More from Dr. Bill coming up at 8:35. Our phone number, our text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. And when I rolled out one of the stories from the Washington Examiner that our own Quinn Hillier had written, already got a lot of text on this, and he's joining us right now, author of Mad Jones Heretic Trilogy, also the name that's behind QuinnHillier.com, and a man who is probably so excited with the Saints' prospects right now, he can't even stand himself.
Who dat? Who dat say they're going to beat them Saints?
It's going to be, let's hope it just, every time I talk about it, I go, don't be a jinx here, but this is, things are looking good. Quinn, I want to get to this because I mentioned it last hour. We already have lots of commentary here. We are in day 25 of the shutdown, and you have a partial government shutdown. And I guess to set the plate here, you have two different kinds of workers that are coming to work but not receiving paychecks. And then you have workers that are furloughed that are not coming to work and not getting paychecks. And you specifically are talking about jobs not being done. Roll this out for us. Talk about your idea here for not paying the furloughed federal workers.
Okay, first of all, just to be absolutely clear, if they are technically furloughed but have been told to come into work because their jobs are essential for public safety, in other words, if they are working, then they should get back pay, period.
Okay.
If you work, you get paid eventually. Period,
okay.
End of question.
Okay.
Some people did not understand that.
Okay, so we're talking about people that have been furloughed and that are not coming in. They have not they've not been to work since the shutdown.
Exactly. There's a very simple principle. If you don't work, you don't get paid. Period, end of story. Now, that does not mean that I don't feel sorry or sympathy for people who, through no fault of their own, have lost their jobs. But in the private sector, if the same thing happened, you would not get paid. And it's even worse in this sense that in the private sector, the consumer, which is almost the equivalent of the taxpayer, can choose to say their regular daily Starbucks place closes for 3 weeks for renovation, and the Starbucks can't reach into their normal customers' pockets and say, you have to pay us anyway so we can pay our workers for those 3 weeks. No, those workers go 3 weeks without pay. But if it's a federal worker, the government can forcibly confiscate your money via taxes and say, you have to pay, you the taxpayer, even though you are not getting services. That makes no sense. If you don't work, you don't get paid.
You're making a logical argument compared to an emotional argument. I want to run through a couple of texts here. Keith says, but it's not the employee's fault. The government said not to go to work.
Is it the employee of the Starbucks' fault if they are doing a renovation? No, but they get furloughed. That is the understanding. In any realm of endeavor, if you don't work, you don't get paid. It's even more applicable to federal workers because they know going in that they are subject to appropriations, but they also know going in that they have all sorts of job protections that nobody in the private sector ever has. Look, I was a federal worker once. It is almost impossible to fire a federal worker. Now, if the appropriation completely goes away and whole, the definitions of jobs are gotten rid of, then yes, you lose your job. But as long as there is a slot for you, once you are there, you have to create gross negligence or incompetence to be fired. And even then, the supervisor has to go through unholy rigmarole and paperwork to prove that you have committed the gross incompetent. So you have job protections, you have benefits, and in return, you've got to know that you are subject to the whim of politicians who sometimes don't get things done on time.
Now, Terry says on the text line, in the private sector, Quinn, you can draw unemployment and get a temporary job.
Same thing in the public sector. Look, you can work two jobs even if you are a public sector employee. I did when I was working as a Reagan appointee, but civil service in the Veterans Administration. I walked down the street to the Washington Post two nights a week and sat on their desk and took high school sports scores over the phone and got paid for it. You are absolutely allowed, as long as your second job is not something that is unethical, that is putting you in a position of conflict of interest with your first job.
Quinn, good morning.
Good morning.
My question is do you think, once the government shutdown is over, that it's going to be topsy-turvy, as Sean has used that word this morning, and I love it, but all of a sudden there's going to have to be a hiring frenzy because so many people will want to think twice and three times before becoming a federal employee because of what has happened with this government shutdown?
No, I'm not worried about that. First of all, there are too many federal workers as it is. We have outspent ourselves beyond anything in comparative history. So we've created more jobs than have ever been created before. The overall unemployment rate is very, very low. There's plenty of competition for jobs. People know they can get their jobs back if they want it. And you know what? Most of them, even knowing that every once in a while they're subject to a shutdown, they like to go back because they know that if they go back, their jobs are protected as long as they don't do something that's totally dishonest or totally incompetent.
Yeah, I've got text from people. This texter says, I'm a federal worker and you really can't get fired unless you're a DA. But even then, but this is a question. This is interesting. Texter says, ask Quinn if he feels the furloughed federal workers will ever catch up on the work not being performed while they are off work. If the answer is yes, then they need to be paid for their time.
No, they probably do not catch up. These are services that are not being performed in the meantime for the American taxpayer who are paying for them. When I was a federal worker, in October of 1986, there was a shutdown. Now, we didn't know at the time that it would last only one actual work day. It was a three-day shutdown, but two of the days were the weekend. We didn't know that, and I was making $17,000 in living in a tiny little basement apartment with no savings. But when they shut down, I said then, this is 32 years ago, that we should not get paid, even though it was hurting me. It's a simple, simple thing. If you don't work, you don't get paid.
So this idea, because the history of it, I guess it's worth saying, too, as we're talking about this, let's frame the history of this, there may be an exception that I don't know of, but in my recent memory, every time there has been a shutdown, furloughed workers have gotten all the back pay. I have suggested, I don't think it's a great thing for them, but it is a vacation, right? It's a paid vacation.
It is a paid vacation, and they already get plenty of paid vacation. They already get incredibly good benefits in most cases. They know going in what they're getting into, and they are trading long-term job security for the possibility of some temporary shutdowns. And look, this is not to say that there aren't a lot of good federal workers. You know, there are a lot of people out there, millions of them, who go to their jobs, who work conscientiously, who care about what they're doing, who care about the taxpayers they're serving or the clients that they're serving, the beneficiaries of their work. But just because you care doesn't mean that you get paid if you don't do the work.
Part of this, too, is people asking, there's some questions you and I were actually talking about during the news break. Number one, that at least in what I have read, somebody may be able to correct me, but those federal workers can apply for unemployment. And with some exceptions, it was earlier when I first heard the story that federal workers couldn't go take another job, and that really bothered me. But now, looking a little deeper into this, it seems very specific. I guess you couldn't take a job. This is probably a ham-fisted way to do it, but you couldn't take a job that would be hiring you because of something you knew of your federal job. In other words, something that would be unethical. Other than that, it seems like, in what I've read, unless somebody can correct, it seems like you are open to take another job in the meantime.
Exactly, as long as there's no conflict of interest. I mean, if you are in the Defense Department's not furloughed anyway, but say it was. If you're in the Defense Department in the contracting office, you can't go take a job in the meantime with Boeing, because that's a conflict
right.
of interest.
Right.
But you can walk down the street to your McDonald's and get mm-hmm. a job after hours. There's nothing prohibiting that while you're furloughed, or even while you've got your 7.5-hour day job, which, by the way, is what it is. It's not even an 8-hour day job. It's a 7.5-hour day job.
Well, I want to address a couple, again, which is nice. I call 7.5 hours. I call that the morning and first half of the day. Okay, so I got to ask you this then. Let's pull back to the big view here, because the question would be that the system is good for federal employees, you're saying. So what about if we go into a world now where these shutdowns are a lot more common, that they're not something that happens, each quadrennium or, two quadrenniums, they happen every year. What about that? Does that start keeping people from wanting to sign up and get a federal job?
If it does, that's fine. There are trade-offs. I have absolutely no problem with that. Here's the thing. If you have a job in this economy and you're guaranteed that you will still have a job when it's all over, you're fine. But if the point of most shutdowns is arguing over money, trying to save money, but if the shutdown
it ends up costing more money.
It ends up costing more
sure.
money. Look, if there was the pressure of knowing that you're actually depriving people of back pay, that would put more pressure on the politicians to compromise and to end the shutdown. But if everybody knows that after the shutdown, all the money's going to get paid out anyway, well, then there's no pressure to say, well, you've got to save these poor federal workers, because the poor federal workers are going to get paid. So it actually exacerbates the shutdown. It makes the shutdown more likely to go longer, because there's not that incentive tugging at people's heartstrings to get it solved.
All right. Well, two more things before we wrap here, because I'm looking at the text. I want to make sure we circle back, that people understand you are not referring, because they're saying, what about Coast Guard people? What about people who have to go to work? You have, from the get-go, you've said, and I'll let you double down on this, that you're not talking about the people that have to go to work. You're not talking about those people. You're talking about the people that have been furloughed that have not gone to work.
Exactly. If you work, you get paid eventually. If you don't work, you don't get paid. That's just as simple as it can be.
All right. And the other one is, you look into your crystal ball, magic eight ball, whatever you got. Because we've been running this online opinion poll question for about a week here. How long do you think the shutdown will last? So, Quinn Hillier, your vote. How long do you think the shutdown lasts?
I see no end to it. I don't know how long it lasts. I think it probably lasts a lot longer. I see neither side willing to do even common sense measures to reach an accommodation. So, I mean, this is bad. This is really bad.
Do you want your options at least of the poll? The options. Within a week, by the end of January, in 1 to 3 months, in 3 to 6 months, it won't reopen, by the end of 2019, or the government will never reopen.
Look, we have people running things on both sides who are more interested in politics than they are in actually governing. And so when that's the case, I don't know. I'm not going to choose. I think it could easily go into February.
All right. Quinn, remind folks they want to pick up the trilogy of Bad Jones or check out your stories like this one. Where do they go?
Well, to check out my stories, they're almost all at the Washington Examiner now. Just type in Quinn Hillier Washington Examiner or go to QuinnHillier.com and you will get, and you type the little subscribe button, you'll get automatic updates once a week. Mad Jones Heretic, really three really fun novels. Go to Amazon.com.
All right, there he is. Quinn, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Bye. All right. It'll be tough times if Quinn has to do something with the federal government once it reopens and those agencies realize he's coming in there. I want to hear from you. People stacked up on the phones and the text line. We're going to get to your calls and text when we return. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. Hey, thanks, Kane. 825 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. We'll head to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106. Give you a heads up here. If you hadn't noticed, holiday season's over, brand new year here, and you've been thinking about credit cards you used over the holidays, possibly seeing those bills show up now, make this New Year's resolution. How about you save some money on your credit card bills? Lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay and save thousands in interest. The rate's fixed, so as rates continue to rise, your rate won't budge. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Application 100% online, and there are no fees. Lightstream believes people with good credit deserve a low rate and an easy process. I mean, that's why you build good credit, right? So y'all can save even more. On top of that 6.14% APR, you can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get the discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, LightStream.com/Sullivan, my last name. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, 826, and to the phones we go. Let's see. Let's go to some federal workers here, too. David is in Pensacola. Hey, David.
Hey, listen, I was listening on C-SPAN the other day, and they were talking about, there was a representative from the American Federal Employees Union, or whatever they're called, AFGE. I don't know what particular acronym stands for. But my concern is this. These federal employees have gone without one paycheck, one two-week paycheck, and they're acting like the sky is falling. My question would be this, and I'd like to leave this open for discussion. If these, you know, guardians of the Constitution can't manage their lives beyond a two-week interruption in pay, how secure am I supposed to feel as a citizen in their ability to do their job on behalf of our nation if it's such a calling and such a high, prestigious thing? Because people in the private sector, they don't go on a mass protest in front of the White House. You know, they find another job. And it just makes me wonder, if they can't self-manage their lives beyond a two-week interruption in pay, do I want them, you know, serving me? That's my question.
There we go. David, I appreciate it. We'll see if others want to answer that. Let's go to Sandra in Alberta, who's been working for the government. Hey, Sandra.
Hi, I'm retired federal, and when I went into work, I didn't work 7.5 hours. I worked from 7:30 to 4 o'clock. I had a 30-minute lunch. Why in the world does Quinn think that it's only 7.5 hours?
I don't know. That'd be you have to take that up with him online. I don't know that. Or maybe he'll call back in.
But at any rate, I have been involved when there was furloughs. They weren't very long. They might have been a couple of days, 3 days, maybe a week. I don't even know it was even a week. But we did get paid. You know, I'm not so sure that wasn't good or bad or whatever, but we got paid.
What do you think of?
If we had leave. We had vacation time. That people can take vacation time. They earn enough vacation time in the federal government to make up for 2 weeks of being without pay.
What do you think about this idea that you know, there is a difference between those people that came to who have come to work during the shutdown that have to be there, because I mean, you work, you get paid, and those that have not had to come to work?
Well, of course, those that do come to work and they're not getting paid, you know, they should get back pay.
Sure. The other folks, what do you think?
Well, I would have to say that I think they should. I'm sorry, but
that's your opinion. Not to apologize.
That's my opinion. Yeah.
There you go. I said I appreciate it. We'll get some more opinions when we come back right after the break. 343-0106. 343-0106. It's just what Quinn rolled out this morning. He does specifically say there is a difference between those that are showing up to work. So if you are a federal government employee that is working, he believes absolutely you're entitled to your pay when you get back. But his contention is those that have been furloughed, those that are not having to come to work, don't deserve back pay when they return. What do you think? 343-0106. And how long does the shutdown go on? 25 days so far, the longest in modern U.S. history. You can vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com, right-hand column, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. How long is the shutdown going to last? We'll talk to you about that and a whole lot more when we come back on Mobile Mornings.
Thanks, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How's everybody?
Hey, we're doing great. You know, you and I have been talking a lot about the new Sierras, but I want to switch it up a little bit this morning and talk about those hot SUVs you have on the lot at McConnell.
Yeah, Dalton, I appreciate that. You know, one of the great things that we have at McConnell is one SUV for about everybody. You know, we've got the little Buick Encore. And that thing, Dalton, you can buy them for less than $20,000 new. And people don't know that. And we're talking about payments like $169. But the new one that came out that a lot of people don't know about, Dalton, is the GMC Terrain. And my daughter is 18 years old. She loves it. And it's just a perfect vehicle for any size. And right now, we've got lease payments on those things for about $229 a month. But it's also a vehicle, Dalton, that really is one of the best looking little things. Looks like a little Range Rover. So I'm just inviting everybody between the Acadia, the Yukon, and the Buick Enclave and the Buick Envision. McConnell's got a family of SUVs that will fit any budget, any size, any need that you've got. And all they have to do, Dalton, is go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, and the year-end closeout sale is a perfect time for people to save a bunch of money on any of our SUVs.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Those are some great deals. Have a great day.
Y'all stay warm, buddy.
We'll give it a shot. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5, phone number 343-0106. A lot of text coming in here. Crypto Marine says it actually comes out to 7.5 hours a day because they're given 2 15-minute paid breaks a day, and I guess, and then the 30-minute lunch. That's how the stat comes out. All right, let's go to... with so many Davids here too. This is one of the Davids. This one in Mobile. Hey, David.
Hey, good morning, Sean.
Morning.
Hey, gonna give my opinions on a few things here. One, I think they should all be paid. Even the ones that's not working. I mean, it's not their fault. It's the darn politician's fault. But I also think the politicians shouldn't be getting paid either. Even though they can probably afford it better than a lot of these workers that probably aren't making a whole lot of money. And, you know, after a while, they don't have money saved up, they're going to be in trouble. So that's kind of what I got there. But also, we're talking about, once again, the politicians, I think, should have some kind of, you know, stake in this game a little bit.
Okay, and I appreciate it. I saw people dragging this out the other day on Twitter, and they were coming after, I think, Bradley Byrne on it, saying so-and-so is not taking their check, but you are. even if the politicians right now, people in the legislative branch and executive branch that are taking paychecks or not, they're saying they're not taking the paycheck, the money was still cut, the check was still cut out.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, until they voted on something that said, hey, the money won't come out of the Treasury, if you just shelf your paycheck and don't cash it, you haven't accomplished anything there. I mean, that is completely for political effect.
This is why Senator Steve Daines, the Republican from Montana, has introduced the No Work, No Pay Act, which requires all congressional pay be withheld during any government shutdown. So referring back to our
then that would be
Dave?
Doing something, yeah. Yes. That would do something, mm-hmm, right? Because that would mm-hmm. be all right. But those politicians are like, I'm not taking a check right now. You're not cashing it. It's still cut out.
And that biweekly check you're talking about is $6,700 biweekly pay.
Folding money there. From Terry here, this is interesting, too. The truth is, no employer who is looking for stable employees are going to hire a furloughed federal employee that may return to work any day. Well said. I mean, that is that. There's. Let's talk about some real stuff. If you come in, you're honest. You say, "I'm a federal worker." You know, I mean, who's going to hire you right then, knowing that at any point you could just turn around and leave?
I just saw a headline pop up that Delta says they're losing $25 million a day because of the workers not coming to work.
Wow. That's one side of it. The other side of it is, if y'all see on Twitter, I put the story up about Serta's Brewing not being able to get a beer out because the government agency that approves beer labels wasn't able to green light that. Give me a break. All right, let's go to another David Preston, Mobile. Hey, man.
Hey, guys. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, David.
Real quickly, the Starbucks analogy wasn't a good analogy because if Starbucks closes a location down for renovations for 3 weeks, most likely they're going to move those employees to another location, so they're not going to be without a job. But even if they didn't move them to another location, those employees would have the opportunity to go to a McDonald's or a Wendy's or even another local coffee company to use those skills to earn money while the Starbucks was closed down. And federal employees do not have that same opportunity, and here's why: because federal employee ethics rules says that they cannot take a job during a shutdown that is related to the work that they do for the federal government. So they can't use their education, they can't use their training and their expertise to make a living.
To some degree, if it's not ethical, because it says here what I'm reading this morning. The branch standards of ethical conduct and rules regarding outside employment still apply. In addition, there are specific statutes that prohibit certain outside activities and agency-specific supplemental rules that require prior approval of and sometimes prohibit outside employment. As a result, before engaging in outside employment, federal employees should review these regulations and consult the agency ethics officials, their agency ethics officials. So, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns there. I mean, how it actually applies, I think it's probably case by case.
And also, furthermore, there's no law or regulation in place that says that said before this government was shut down that these employees were not going to get paid. Now, if they want to go pass a law or a regulation that says you're not going to get paid if you don't work, well, then the employees know that going into the shutdown, and they can decide for themselves, do they want to continue to be a federal employee or do they want to go try their luck in the private sector? You know, but basically the same. Basically, like I said, when Mayor Simpson tried to change the rules of the retirement for city retirees, they made decisions based off of the rules that they had that were in place at the time. And unless we're bankrupt, you can't go change the rules on them in midstream.
All right, David, appreciate the call. Let's go to Fred in Spanish Fort. Hey, Fred.
Top of the morning to you, buddy.
A remainder of the day to you.
Well, listen now. My concern, kind of with the earlier caller about the federal employees and getting paid back, my understanding is that they still have health insurance and life insurance coverage. But here's the main thing. My main thing was about the fallacy of paychecks. And congressman, I heard you talking about having them refusing paychecks. How can you refuse direct deposit? There's no such thing as a paycheck in the federal government anymore, whether you make minimum wage or you're one of the highest.
Is it all direct deposit?
Yes, it is.
Oh my gosh.
How are you going to refuse an electronic debit or electronic credit into your account?
Spending the money. Listen, Fred, I'm your politician. I'm not going to spend that. I'm going to spend other money. I am not spending that money.
Exactly. Sitting there and then, oh, hold on, I'm not going to buy another Lamborghini until the crisis is over. You know, I wonder what's funding those 39 Democrats that went down to Puerto Rico or wherever they went on vacation on a private jet. They must have used their own funds, not the funds that automatically went into their checking account.
No, man, you know, that's the lobbyist.
Well, that kind of goes with, I don't mean to be long-winded, but since you opened the door, I was kind of miffed earlier. I was going to keep my mouth shut about it, but with regard to what Quinn Hillier said, you know, how it's all politics on both sides, President Trump's still up there in Washington. These jackasses don't really care. The congressmen don't care about the federal employees, I guess, because they're down hoping it up over the weekend.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, and the game's going to be played that, anybody does anything during the shutdown, they're going to be a pariah for it. And maybe they should. Maybe that's how you turn up the heat to get things done in Washington. Fred, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike in Daphne. Hey, Mike.
Man, what's happening?
You, man. Federal furloughs. What do you think?
I think federal employees serve our country just like the military, and they're entitled to every bit of back pay they deserve while they're caught up in this quagmire.
So
they're serving our country, and they deserve every bit of it.
What about the but do you see any difference here? Like Quinn said, you have those that are going to work, and I don't know that any fair-minded person has argued that those people shouldn't get their check, right? The people that they are working without pay right now, they should get their back pay. But those who are furloughed who don't have to go to work, should they also get paid back pay for the work they didn't do?
I think so.
Okay. I appreciate the call. I wonder how that makes... That's interesting, though. If you're a federal worker that's been working, right, you had to work through the shutdown, however long it lasts, and then you finally get your paycheck, and then there's other people that didn't work during the furlough, and they get their paycheck. You kind of got a raw deal, didn't you? Wouldn't you be, saying, hey, wait a second, I get my paycheck, but I worked. What about the other folks? John in Mobile, next up. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Question. So we've got 800,000 non-essential government employees.
Is that the number
that are not working? Right?
Is that the number 800,000 or the full furloughed? I don't have that in front of me. But we'll work off that.
We have 800,000 federal employees who are not being paid during the government shutdown, and that includes 380,000 on furlough.
Okay, 380,000 is the number of the ones that don't have to show up.
Okay, my point is, why have we got 800,000 non-essential employees?
No, 380,000. Because
okay.
It says 800.
Why have we got 380,000 non-essential employees?
What do you think?
The taxpayers are paying.
How do you think that happened?
The
government unions, I guess.
Decades.
The essential employees, I know what he's saying. The essential employees are those who are furloughed because they have to come to work. Those, like we're talking about the TSA,
yes,
you know, agents. Those, that's the 380,000.
Okay, wait. Okay, so 380,000 mm-hmm. are the ones that are having to go to work.
Correct.
What's the number of?
There's 800,000 who are not being paid during the government shutdown, which includes 380,000 on furlough and another 420,000 who are on the job but are not being paid. So that's where there's a discrepancy.
So the number I'm looking for. It's just the number of federal workers that are not having to come to work. Hold on one second. I'm doing math, man. I got to concentrate. the number of federal employees that are furloughed but are not having to come to work. That number is
420,000.
420,000. Okay, 420. So that's what we're talking about.
Okay, but my point is, how many federal workers do we have on the taxpayer dime that are non-essential?
We've asked this question every time there's a shutdown, and it depends on how they define non-essential. I don't know, but you would imagine if you're using the term non-essential, it does beg a question, doesn't it?
Yeah, then you know, why are they there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you know,
everybody I employ is essential.
Right.
I don't have the option to hire non-essential.
There we go. Appreciate the call, John. Got to run to the break and coming right back. I don't know. I don't know what the definition of that is before I wade off into it, but 420,000 is the number we're talking about. Mm-hmm. All right. Coming right back. Grab some calls and text 343-0106. Thanks, Kane. 852 FM Talk 106.5. Phone line 343-0106. May want to Go ahead and put that in the contacts list. You'll need it from time to time, we imagine. Text us or call us, 343-0106. And the Department of Research here has gotten an answer here on my question about the breakdown on workers, because I want everybody to make sure they understand what Quinn was discussing that has driven the calls this hour. And that is, he was saying that furloughed workers, those that are furloughed that are not coming to work, he doesn't believe should be paid retroactively, versus those workers that are working that are not getting paid. There is a difference out there.
Yeah, you know, it is confusing to a lot of us. So according to the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, they describe essential or accepted, because actually that word was changed in 1995 in the verbiage. Essential or accepted employees are those who are performing emergency work involving the safety of human life or the protection of property or performing certain other types of accepted work. So we're talking about, you know, our FBI, DEA, U.S. Marshals, prison officials, you know, those types of jobs come to mind.
Okay.
And it is confusing with the different numbers, because you're hearing 800,000, you're hearing 420,000, furloughed or having to keep working without pay. It is confusing, very much so. So I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that that was what it means to be an essential or accepted employee.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see here. Let's go to Jim in Mobile next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. Thanks for calling. What's your thought?
Tell me something. You know, it would really make sense if the our Congress would take their paychecks and pay the federal employees. That way, it may give them a little bit of incentive to work out this this deal here.
But, you know, there's the thing. You can talk about these things, but it's like there's no system in place. Back to like the GoFundMe page where they raised money for the border wall, and they said you can do that, but in the system of government, you can't raise that money and give it. It has to come through another. You know, there's no mechanism for that. Which, by the way, they refunded that money, but
they did. I mean, they didn't reach their goal.
Right. So mm-hmm. if members of Congress said, "Hey, we're going to forfeit our pay and use that," but even though it, then who gets paid on the list? Because it wouldn't be enough to pay everybody. But who gets paid on the list? Who doesn't get paid? And how do you, if there's not some rule there, you know what I'm saying, that's already been built into the system, they'll say, hey, the money's here, but we can't get it over there because there's no law about that. That's the thing.
You're right. It's, you know, and I wish they could change that, but it would seem that it would give a little bit of incentive to make things happen instead of just hanging out and both sides kind of being at odds with this.
Appreciate the call. Although, and a nuance of what Quinn said earlier, I thought was interesting. In these debates over shutdown, would the idea, and this is tough because you're talking about people's living. You're talking about making house notes. You're talking about feeding children, all those things. I get it. I am not ignorant or so obtuse. I don't see that. But Quinn makes an argument. Would the fact that the non-essential or accepted, those who are not coming to work, that they wouldn't be getting paid at all, back pay, would that increase the heat of the fire on the fannies of the members of Congress and the executive branch? Would, because right now you have this, you know, it's always been this way, that when government is back on, the back pay is paid. Mm-hmm. What if the idea that every day that ticked by, that those furloughed workers, those not coming to work, were losing that day, never to be paid for that day. That may, in fact, hasten the negotiations in Washington. The problem is it comes on the backs of the people that are having to deal with it, and I get that. But academically, I think he makes a good argument that that would be an increase in the heat on the backside of the members of government that can make a decision here, because instead of those furloughed workers saying, we got to figure out how to get through this stuff, but then we'll get back pay, they'd be saying, our income is reduced by a month. We have lost 1/12 of our annual income.
I just hope nothing bad happens. And I think about our airlines. You know, how many people do so many different jobs? And if people are not showing up to work and security is not at tip-top shape, and, you know, you're talking about airplanes, how much these planes weigh, how many people do their various jobs, and what you call essential may not seem essential to someone else and vice versa. But, you know, I just pray that nothing happens from a safety standpoint. And then it comes out in involving, you know, because when lawmakers, of course, we've already talked about they're getting paid. But when something directly impacts you is when you pay really close attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sure hope nothing happens where it comes out that, okay, now we should really care, because now someone who has been getting paid now feels the heat like a regular mm-hmm. Joe Schmo. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that concerns me, and I think about what happened in Atlanta and that gun getting on the plane. And where'd the gun go to? Was it
Tokyo.
Tokyo, yeah. What would have happened if that gun would have discharged on that plane?
Been a massive change in cabin pressure.
And we'll just leave it there.
8:58. Mike Gallagher on the way next. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile.